Well, I hope you've got a Bible there. There's either one sitting right in front. How long can we call them our new pew Bibles for? I don't know. Keep going? Yeah. One of the new pew Bibles is sitting in front. Or you've brought your own because you want to feed up on God's Word, which we are going to be talking a little bit about today. So it'd be great for you to have that open. And I'm going to pray as we come to take a look at the fourth beatitude. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have revealed yourself through Scripture, that you have revealed yourself through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we can attain to righteousness because of him. And we ask, Lord, that then that might become our great pursuit, our great desire, our thirst, our hunger, that we might long to be more and more righteous, more and more in line with your will and your way. And I pray, Lord, that if there's any apathy in us, that you might remove that. If there's any distraction, that we might be focused so that we can hear what you have to say to us today, and that you would change us in order that we can be more and more like Jesus and reveal your glory and your majesty, for that is what we desire. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. She wakes. Three alarms, as usual, required, 3 minutes apart. But she's up, and immediately she craves that morning coffee, and immediately she aches. Her head is so full. The warm water washes a few worries away, but by the time she is in class, they are back and she is distracted. But distraction works. People and talk, but the train home stinks. Another day. Is this it? By the time she returns home, the nagging question, the restlessness in her body and her mind, it hasn't gone. The weekend didn't resolve it either. No alarm. But it also had no real rest. Why do I wake so tired every day? She wakes. No alarm needed anymore. 2 decades of alarms was enough. But the feeling, it hasn't changed. Immediately she craves that double shot morning coffee. And immediately she aches. Her head is so full. 3 children, 2 careers, 1 devastating relationship medicated by wine and food and fun and an affair. A loving husband grunts and farts next to her, a smile, but then the smell. The warm water washes few worries away because the nagging question remains. The restlessness in her body and in her mind, it hasn't gone. Oh, how we can relate. Maybe too closely for some of you. You change some details, of course. Not all of us have husbands who fart. My wife doesn't. But most can relate. Restlessness, emptiness, loneliness, a longing for satisfaction, discontent, a hunger and thirst to be filled. We've got it, don't we? Many feel this way. That search and desire for fullness and satisfaction. Our souls are hungry as a people. Our hearts are thirsty. We feel that longing for something more, such restlessness in humanity, isn't there? And yet no matter where we seek fullness, if it isn't through the words of Jesus, we are fooled. We can be fooled by the romance of success, be that money, career, or fame, or the romance of sex, in relationships or the object itself, the romance of escape maybe, holidays, drink, drugs, whatever it might be, continually turning us inward in pursuit of being true to maybe oneself, an appetite that we can't fulfill ever, a thirst that will never be quenched. And yet the golden staircase that we've been taking, that Jesus has been directing us on, resets all of this. And the fourth step redirects us, and it really helpfully redirects us because the spiritually blessed, the blessed are, have a single appetite. And so they will be, and they can be filled, not fooled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, if you've been with us, or you haven't been with us, just so you're aware, we're taking some steps on a staircase, is what I've been saying. The Beatitudes is kind of like this golden staircase towards the blessed life. It teaches us what it means to live the blessed life, a life that we were meant to live. And if you've been with us, we've looked at, blessed are those who are meek, those who mourn, and then the poor in spirit. And today we look at people who are hungry and thirsty, wanting to be filled. What is the answer? Because many of us, I'm sure, feel like that woman, and I just made that story up, but we could have our own story in that place, couldn't we? C.S. Lewis puts it beautifully like this. He says, If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Or as his predecessor, a fair bit ago, Augustine said, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And today we're going to look at just that verse. That's it today. We're going to look at the single appetite of the blessed, and as a result of that, the fact that we can be filled, not fooled. A single appetite. And so it's important we start there, and we start with the object of that appetite. What is it that we crave? What is it that we desire? What is the object of our thirst and our hunger? You see, Jesus has started this whole thing, and when he gets to this point, there's a bit of a link to something that's happened previously, because when he talks about the spiritually poor and the spiritually hungry, this links to Mary's song back in Luke, where you can read there, and it actually links to the Old Testament, you can read there, God has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Which also links back to the Old Testament, because that's a quote directly from Psalm 107, verse 9. This is a promise to the hungry, to the thirsty, those in desperate need and desiring it. But what are the good things? Here, Jesus specifies or particularizes what was generalized then. What do they long for? What is their desire and the insatiable craving that they have? It ain't chocolate. Righteousness. And we hear the word righteousness all the time. You come to this church, you probably hear it 40 times in a service somehow. And we often think of righteousness and we go, okay, rules or justification. Rules. Justification. That's what I've got. And we wouldn't be wrong, no, because the Bible does talk about righteousness in that way. There is the legal or the moral and then the social outworking of it. But as the Sermon on the Mount, which is what the Beatitudes begins, as it gets going, as you keep going through it, you start to see how righteousness arises. And it shows itself to be increasingly about a pattern of life in conformity with God's will. Now, yes, you have to be saved by Jesus to live that way, but that's what the pursuit of righteousness is all about. And the connection to the previous steps and the steps to come helps, because what are the steps that have gone? Poor in spirit, acknowledging our need, mourning the sin in our lives, and humbly acknowledging all of that. And then as we move on, it talks about the fact that you are going to be merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers. That sounds a lot like a man I've met named Jesus. Characteristics of our God. A people patterned off their God and committed to his will. That's what we hunger and thirst for. To be more and more like, isn't it? That's what you and I are just desperate to do. Our heart is restless until we rest in this, yeah? We found that rest in Jesus and we want to know Jesus and we want to be more and more like Jesus. That's your hunger, isn't it? That's your thirst. That's your appetite for life. It is what our soul and our bodies need, so we should be pursuing this. And yet I would be surprised if you're like, yeah, I'm with you. You see, we have to see that as Christians, we are not like others. We don't worry about the same things. We don't stress and pursue the same things. We won't be romanced by success, money, possessions, fame, careers. We won't be romanced by sex or relationships alone. We won't need to escape reality. We live setting ourselves to, as he'll say in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6, verse 33, seek what? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then all the other things come. That's what the Beatitudes tell us right from the beginning. And so we need to take a good hard look at whether we do genuinely hunger and thirst for this righteousness. Because the spiritually living and the spiritually maturing will hunger and thirst. A Christian's appetite, their craving, is for righteousness. A blessed one is hungry and thirsty for righteousness. And their hunger and thirst, their appetite, means that they are living and they are maturing. You ever met those people and you watch them? And I have to admit, like they drink a Sprite I love Sprite. Like an icy cold Sprite. Take me back to camp a few years ago. I talked about this for ages. You get it out of the fridge and it just feels like it quenches. Sprite's the thirst quencher, isn't it? Don't use it as a hair gel or something like that, but it quenches your thirst, is the ads that they had. Or a Mars bar. A Mars bar helps you work, rest and play. It just fills you up so wonderfully. No, they don't. You don't have your thirst quenched nor your hunger filled with that. You know how people, like, they drink a Sprite, they eat a Mars bar, and then they wonder why they're hungry again in an hour. Well, there's a reason, man. You're eating the wrong stuff. You're kind of being like my little girl, Tilly, who's 4, and we give her dinner, and she starts eating it. She just doesn't like it. And so she goes, I'm hungry. And we're like, there is food right in front of you. Unfortunately, we can probably be and will be exactly the same. And we'll come to that when we think a bit more about our maturity. But our living nature, our hunger and thirst will point towards that. A loss of appetite, if you're a doctor or something like that, a loss of appetite apparently indicates a serious physical problem. If you stop, like doctors tell you that a good appetite, desiring food and water, hungering and thirsting, means it's a sign that your body is in a healthy state. You know what Jesus tells us? It is the same spiritually. Like no dead person hungered and thirsted. Spurgeon puts it brilliantly. He says, in all the catacombs, which is like, you know what a catacomb is, don't you? Like a tomb where they put bodies, dead ones. There has never yet been found a dead man hungering or thirsting. And there never will be. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you are spiritually alive. Let me show you an example of this. Everybody turn to our Bible reading for today, which was Psalm 63. There's page number 463. So you should have a Bible in front of you. Here we see a man who is alive, who is spiritually engaged, who is keen, hungering and thirsting. Listen to these words, verses 1 to 3. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. There is somebody who is longing after the Lord, yes? Desperate to know God, to know his will, being satisfied only there. That's a spiritually alive person. You know why David was like that? Psalm 19, verse 7. You know what he says? Here it is. I'll give you this one on the screen. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing to the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. You see, he hungered and thirsted for righteousness, which meant that David delighted in the word of God. And so like David, now Christ, well, us with Christ, having revealed to us, having made us living Christians, we are meant to have an appetite to know Jesus by feeding on his word. A desperate desire to know Christ more. You saw it in the video, even though we got that tiny little snippet. That's all I needed. Sad we didn't get to see the rest because it's wonderful. How are you when it comes to this word? Like, would you tear up a Bible and distribute it amongst yourselves if you only had one because you were just so desperate to read it? Probably not, if we're honest. And yet you see a person of the persecuted church receive a Bible and it looks like they're starving for it. They want it so desperately. See, maybe you feel flat. Maybe you feel like your spiritual life is just flatlining. Please take this golden staircase. Because it isn't enough to mourn our past experience. It isn't enough to just simply humbly accept our need. No, we must also hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because this whole list, they're all the qualities of a Christian. But it's hard. When we are so full and distracted, when we are so filled with plenty of opportunities of unrighteous distractions, constantly filled by images, the media, social media, we walk around and when a meal is maybe dangled before us, we'll jump in on that. Or maybe you just show up here and you get a little bit of a bite to eat every once in a while. But you try and get between a hungry person and food, like a proper hungry person. I've watched Survivor. Like, they chew through a door to get to food. Somebody's properly hungry. Rarely do we ever hunger and thirst. It might be part of our issue. You know, I'm starving. You ever said that, felt that? Even just if you said to somebody, I'm so hungry, I'm starving. Check the cupboard, the fridge. Oh, there's nothing to eat. What do you mean is nothing I want to eat? You probably have heaps of food in there. And even if you didn't, you go, oh, well, I've got Uber Eats on my phone. Like, we live in an Uber Eats generation. We eat what we want, when we want it, where we want it. I was watching the cricket one time and somebody got Uber Eats delivered who was rolling the pitch. Like the middle of the SCG. We can have food whenever we want, however we want. This is why I'm going to suggest today that maybe fasting is one of those forgotten spiritual disciplines that we should maybe consider at least, return to. As Jesus said, when you fast. Fasting, consider it. You're like, what is fasting? Is that running really, really fast? Because I never hear about that. No. Fasting is having zero food. Zero, yes, eating nothing, drinking nothing. Maybe just having a small amount. It doesn't have to be all full hog, like I'm going to fast for a week, not eat anything. No. We can be temporary with what we fast too, to help direct our desires to hunger and thirst. With time, set a time of not eating. Think about maybe the quality of food that you put aside, the luxury. This might be simple. Like I often in October, I haven't done it this year, but I'll only drink water. I call it H2O October. Only drink water. Cut out coffee, cut out all the other things that I might drink and just drink. I eat food. People are like, oh, how do you survive? I eat food, but only drink water. Because it is a spiritual discipline, but also it helps me remember I don't need all that stuff. And maybe sparingly use stuff. Only use what is necessary for you if you're still thinking, well, I'm not sure about this whole thing, Brett, fasting. But I am talking about food because we have such easy access to it. But that feeling, you felt hunger, but that real deep desire. And when you feel that, then ask that you might long for righteousness that way, because that's what he's talking about. Your spirit might yearn, your soul might long for righteousness like that. It's a really helpful response, particularly when you mourn sin. If you have sinned, to go and say, like, I don't want to do that anymore. As you do, incorporate prayer and feed on God's word. Let me suggest this week, give it a go. Skip one meal you would normally eat. Choose a scripture to read. You could just meditate on Psalm 63. Read that and ask that God might direct your desires to be like David's. That his presence, his will, his way in your life might be like that. Hungering and thirsting with the right appetite is for the spiritually living. You claim to be a spiritually living Christian. We're going to hunger like this. But it also means that you will grow. The healthy Christian matures. Like, why is it that some Christians continue as spiritual babies and others go on and grow into maturity? In fact, why is it that some seem to grow backwards? They regress. It probably has to be said that there are many a Benjamin Button Christian today, particularly in the Western church. Sure, I'm not trying to suggest there aren't those that grow. God is certainly at work in his church, but many are stunted or regressing or think they're maturing in a way, but they're not really maturing based on what the scriptures say. Everybody turn to 1 Peter 2, just real quickly. Peter, John, Jude. Revelation. It's there at the back of your Bible. Listen to what Peter says here. He says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted the Lord is good. Crave, like newborn babies. You ever seen a newborn baby after the breast? Mate, they don't just nuzzle. If they don't get it, what do? They scream and scream and scream and scream. You know how I know? My breasts don't work that way. And my babies don't want my breasts. It's just true. It's a fact. Don't got the goods. But they want that. They crave it. When Tilly was just finished sort of, she was transitioning out of breastfeeding. Her little cousin, Theo, is just a bit younger. So he was still breastfeeding, and his mum, Tilly's auntie, was there breastfeeding, and he finished and popped her over, and Tilly walked over because she loves this spiritual milk. She goes, me too? She just wants it. She craves it. That's exactly what she did. It was quite a humorous moment. But these cravings are meant to go on. They're meant to go from immaturity to maturity, to adulthood. But few of us grow beyond being babies. We sit there still saying, me too, as our cravings, our appetite diminishes. Eve, this is my youngest daughter, Eve, has just started on solid food. She doesn't quite get the concept yet, eh? She's still figuring out what it means. But you take that broccoli away from her, she'll growl at you. Kind of like I've seen some of you, if you take like a piece of pizza, she growls, she wants it, she craves it. Why is this an issue? Why is it that people need to go from the milk, let's say, and mature and continue to grow on? It would be strange to see me breastfeeding, wouldn't it? It would. So it's just as strange to see a spiritual baby who should have grown into adulthood. Babies are meant to grow and mature. So too are spiritual babies, young Christians. Have a look at Hebrews 5 with me. Hebrews 5, this is very close to where you were just then. We're talking about growing in maturity. And the writer to the Hebrews, this letter of the Hebrews, says, "We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." Good from evil, righteousness from unrighteousness. We're trained in this act of knowing what it is. That's why we dive deeper. That's what makes a mature Christian. A hunger and a thirst, the right appetite and actually getting into it. So how is your diet? If you looked at your meal plan this week, I mean, do you have a plan? Who here plans to eat tomorrow? Some of you are like, dang, I want to eat now. Yeah, but you're planning it. You've planned to eat. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness, an appetite to know Jesus by feeding on his word, means you've got a desperate desire to know him more. Mature cravings lead to mature plans. Plans that then lead to deeper cravings as you keep going, maybe even in unexpected ways, you crave him more. Maturity isn't about more ministry activity or ministry experience, being trained in ministry, or how we measure ourselves. Often in maturity, it ends up being that. No. Have a look what Paul says. You know what Paul says it is? In Philippians 3, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. He wasn't satisfied with mere activity. He longed for communion with God, deep, intimate communion. He longed to be aligned to him more and more and more, to his will for righteousness. I met with a young, maturing Christian woman that comes to this church. I met with her a little while ago. And she was talking about this exact thing. She was like wrestling with where she's at now, but she was saying there was a time where I was so deep into God's word that I went out with some friends and all I wanted to do was go home and spend time with Jesus. Like all I wanted to do was go back and read the word. I was out with friends. I was at a party. It was great fun, but I just had this craving to be at home. And some of us might even describe that sort of thing and think, well, scoff. Nobody feels like that. Come on. But that's it. That's it. So desperate to know and to hear from God, to be with him, so desperate to drink up what he has for us in his word. Just like David says, Psalm 42, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." When can I go and meet with God? Desperate. How do you feel about your morning coffee? I've heard people who are like, I go to bed excited about my morning coffee. Or like I finish my breakfast and already lunch is coming. Dinner. How do you go when you crave for food? Do we thirst after righteousness like that? As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. Do we hunger that he might fill us? Are we those who hunger and thirst for righteousness? Because we will be filled. Do you hear what Jesus promises in that too? He says, filled. You will be filled. But it's difficult. I know it's difficult in a world that fools us. Like Coke, no sugar. Man, that stuff. I love that stuff. I tricked myself into believing it's healthy, yeah? Do you know what Coke, no sugar does? Apparently, still not don't fully believe this, but it tricks your brain. Is this true? It tricks your brain into thinking that it's sort of had sugar, but actually because it's tricked your brain, it actually makes you just crave more sugar. And so it's this endless cycle of like, I feel filled, but I'm so desiring more of that Coke, no sugar. And I love Coke, no sugar. It's why you can pump 2 liters in like 20 minutes. It's delicious, particularly when it's icy cold and it's not Sprite. You see, no matter where we seek fullness, we are fooled, just like the Coke, no sugar. The romance of success, the romance of sex, the romance of escape, continually turning us inward in pursuit of being true to oneself, an appetite that can't be fulfilled, a thirst that won't ever be quenched. But we are told that these things can satisfy, aren't we? But like our brains are tricked, we are fooled with a feeling of being full until that sand runs through our hands. When the romance of success, maybe money troubles come up, or what money can buy us doesn't taste so good, so we want more and more and more. Career, work just becomes monotonous, or I've failed again and I can't keep it up. The romance of sex, many have stared into their eyes to the others with all the hope in the world. But when that person becomes our fullness factor, it's going to end in disaster, as the people we love let us down time and time again. Sex, the pursuit, just doesn't drive me the same way anymore, and porn never filled anyone. Even worldly wisdom teaches us that. Then there's the romance of escape. The holiday or the drug just leaves you feeling numb, out of touch. Holidays only work for so long. The daily or weekly escapes leave us with a constant hangover. Life is lived in this sort of haze. And yet it would be near impossible to avoid the idea that one of these romances is the answer. Success, sex, escape. As you seek to find yourself, you're going to get there. What's so wrong, though? What's wrong with this if it makes me happy? Because the answer is it probably doesn't. At least not for long. Because you're always aware of all the other ways fullness can be found. Meaning is preached by another in so many different ways. So that when the romance fades, the feeling of fullness does too, doesn't it? Don't be fooled. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, he tells us we can be filled, we will be filled when we are romanced by righteousness. When we desire, crave righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Satisfaction through righteousness. And so what is this fullness? And we have to remember at this point that there is the now and not yet paradox. Yes, this is a paradox, and the scriptures do this all the time. But think about it like this. It's kind of like when you get to know someone. You feel like you know them fully, and yet you want to know them more deeply, and you can continue to know them more deeply, a friend, a partner, a son or a daughter. It seems never-ending, and righteousness can be just like that. But we can be filled now. Listen to what Jesus promises in John 4:14 and 6:35. It'll be on the screen. Jesus said, "Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And then he talks about hunger, about food. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." And we do know, you definitely know this, later on in John's Gospel, John 10:10, what's he say? Jesus came, he comes to give life and life to the full. See, when we know Jesus, we are satisfied. The Lord gives the famished person their heart's desire. Righteousness is ours through Christ Jesus, and I have to stress this always, because somebody will say to me tonight, "But I'm not always righteous." You know, you say, "I fail constantly, and I don't feel like I'm always feeling this stuff." Take the steps back. For the Holy Spirit, he has been at work already. If he has brought you to that point, he's there. Be humble, mourn, and recognize your spiritual poverty, and then delight in being a blessed one. Then hunger and thirst all the more. You are a sinner who does not love sin. That's what you're saying at that point. Who mourns, praise God. Some of the people who say this to me are the ones who are actually hungering and thirsting for righteousness. So thirst again. It won't be in the same way. No, it'll be further still, because there is a not yet to come. There is a not yet. And Paul knows about this not yet. He speaks about wanting to know Christ more deeply, and yet he knows him. You can see that in 2 Timothy 1:12, Philippians 3:10. He has come to know Christ, but in knowing him, he wants to know him better and better and better. Here it is. Once we have tasted what righteousness is, filled, you want to be filled more. You can't help but want more. How I would how much I want this for us, that righteousness would increase in this church because that is what we hunger for. That we hunger for it until the day where all those who have hungered and thirsted are clothed in perfect, fine, white linen. Revelation 19:8. Receive in full what we are being filled with. Perfect, complete righteousness. It makes sense, doesn't it? The more we become like God, the more we pursue him, the more attractive righteousness becomes. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. My singing lips, my mouth will praise you. A single appetite, righteousness, so we can be filled and not fooled. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do ask that you fill us. And we ask that you fill us with righteousness in such a way that we then crave it all the more, that we hunger and thirst to know you more deeply, to know your will and your ways in our lives more deeply. Please make us a people who long for righteousness, who crave it as our single appetite. And then, Father, fill us. Please, Lord. Help us not to be fooled by the way the world suggests that we can gain satisfaction, but instead be devoted to what it is that you have said will fill us, and that is seeking your will and your ways in righteousness. And Father, if there are people here tonight who are questioning whether they are those living or maturing Christians, please help them to be honest with themselves and to reach out to another and ask them to maybe pray for them, to ask them to invite them to know Jesus a little bit more deeply. And as we turn to sing now and express this heart's desire, might it really come from deep in our guts as we hunger and thirst. We pray all of this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.